You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zgarra, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea. The Browns yesterday wrapped up the portion of their training camp open to the public. Now it's all business getting ready for preseason game number two against the Atlanta Falcons. And a person that is going to get more action. We hope to see him take care of the football and lead some scoring drives. Quarterback Robert Griffin III spoke with the media. Here is what he had to say.
Well, the news of the day, at least on our standpoint, is Gordon being activated and practicing for the first time. What is that, just your feelings about how close you might be to playing?
You got to ask Coach and the trainers about how close he is to playing. But, you know, we know as a team it's great to have him back out there. And look forward to seeing him go to work and, you know, really put his best foot forward.
With only 11 snaps, is there much to think at all about your game at Green Bay, or was there enough to evaluate?
You evaluate everything that you do. So we went over it, looked at it, you know, figured out what we need to do better. As a team, and we know we can have a better showing collectively as a group, and that's what we look forward to doing at home. So it's exciting that we get another opportunity to go out there and play.
One of the things Coach mentioned, going back to the interception to Gary, he said it's a little too early to try the chemistry, if you will, with guys and the anticipation of where they're going to be and throwing there with that expectation. How long does, as a quarterback, does that take to develop with teammates that knowing where they're going to be and putting that ball where you expect them?
I just think it just comes with knowing the offense and continuing to work that every single day. You know, we've got a lot of time before the first game of the season, and we can continue to work on those things. But like I said before, it's you just can't have those things happen. And we'll work to make sure that doesn't happen anymore, and that's on me.
I think you were knocked down 3 times in that game, roughly, I don't know. Maybe 2, maybe 3. Considering the few snaps you're on the field, is that disconcerting to you? I mean, over the course of the game, that's a lot of hits.
I'm not worried about that. I trust the guys in front of me. Cam, Greg, Joe, Joel, and Austin, those guys are going to, you know, protect me as a quarterback. And we're going to lean on them in the running game and the passing game to make us right. Those are our big dogs up front. And I trust them 100%.
Was it somewhat – I mean, obviously you never want to get hit, but – do you look at maybe a little bit of positive because you're able to get up each time? It was the first time you had actually been hit and, you know, live ball in nearly a year.
Yeah, I mean, you never celebrate getting hit, but, it was awesome. Like I said before, it's just a pleasure to be out there with great people and have an opportunity to play a game that you love. So getting hit's a part of that. And as bad as it sounds, yeah, I enjoyed the process of being in a football game and have an opportunity to play.
How much have you learned about taking care of yourself to the point you can get through 16 games?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've learned a lot from my early playing years. I'm still, really young. I'm only 26, but in 4 years, I've learned a lot about how to take care of yourself on the field. And, I haven't played 16 games, although in 2013 I had an opportunity to. So it's not that. It's just continuing to learn how to get down, how to take care of your body, and be available for the next play. So that's the thing that I've learned the most.
There was a blurb from ESPN after the game that said something along the lines of you were reminded of Carson Palmer, a hit that he took and tore ACL on the first play. Did you have some kind of scare there? I mean, is that accurate that you thought of that? Or?
No, I mean, my leg got stuck in the ground while I was planning to throw the TP, but I'm fine. TP made a great play, so that's all you really worry about. We got the completion, made a big play happen, and that's what we're looking for, big plays out of our offense.
When you've had injuries like that in the past, though, is that always kind of stuck in your mind or not really?
No, I mean, you know what it feels like, but it's not anything that you're focused on. Every time you step on the field, you know that there's a risk that you can get hurt, but you don't play scared of that. You go out and you play ball, and you trust the guys in front of you and the guys around you to make plays for you.
Robert, have you seen Josh kind of chomping at the bit to get out here, and what's he been like in the last couple of weeks except games?
Yeah, I feel like Josh is, he's like anybody. Like I said, it's a beautiful game. He gets to come out and play, and he wants to play. He's excited to be back, and he's had the injury, and that's slowed him down a little bit, but he's constantly getting extra work, whether it's boxing, running, catching the ball. I know he'll be ready when he steps out there. He knows what he has to do to get ready to play ball.
Robert, is there an understanding right now with the coaches that in the preseason, just don't go out running. Save it for the real games.
No, I mean, like I said, every time you're out there, it's a game until you're not in the game. And that's the way you have to approach it. We're trying to go out there, make sure we execute our offense at a high level, put points on the board. And defenses aren't just going to let you do that, so you got to be able to know what the scheme is, know what we're trying to do, how we're trying to attack them. And Atlanta's, you know, they've got a really good defense, and we got to make sure that we go out and we execute the way that we know we can.
By rights, you should have been real rusty being on the field for the first time in a long time. Did that even cross your mind while you were out there that you actually felt rusty?
No, I didn't. It was just, like I said, it was just an excitement. It truly is a blessing, and you never know. You know, I've had football taken away from me a couple times due to injury and some other circumstances. So you never know what you have until it's gone. And when football's taken away from you, I know a lot of guys have had it taken away from them permanently. When you get a chance to get back out there on the field, you appreciate it. So there was no thoughts of that. It was just, you know, excitement.
Hugh Jackson said he's expecting a huge jump collectively as a team from preseason game 1 to 2. What does that mean for you? What would be a huge jump?
No, it just means that we as an offense and as a team have to go out and execute better. You know, I didn't do a good enough job of helping us put points on the board. And that's what we want to do. You know, that's the name of our game. We got to go out and score points. So we want to move the ball consistently, get points on the board, and make sure that we're executing the way that we know we can and what coach has put out for us in the game plan.
Robert, can you talk about take us back a little bit to you and Josh together at Baylor and the production that you guys had and you know, just how great that was that you're able to connect with him in that way?
Yeah, it was fun. A lot of fun. And you know, we had some great games, some great times together, and we're looking forward to really building that here in Cleveland. And it's not just Josh, it's not just Corey, it's all the receivers. All those guys can go out and make plays, and it's just about giving them an opportunity. So that's my job as a quarterback, is to give them opportunities to make plays, and I know they'll make me right.
How excited are you about what that offense can be with Josh, with Barnes, with Corey? There's some pieces.
Yeah, there's pieces there, and we know that. It's just about making sure that more attention to detail, and we execute as best as we can, because the talent is there. It's not a shortage of talent. We just got to make sure we do things the right way when it's time to win.
How hard is it to build the chemistry when, I think at the end of practice yesterday, 7 of your receivers weren't able to go?
Yeah, it's, you know, the young guys, you know, kudos to the young guys for stepping up and getting in there to practice and you know, running the right routes and making sure that they were, you know, completing the catch and doing things the right way. But yeah, we got to get our guys healthy. Everyone knows that. And, you know, it's our responsibility as players to make sure that we're ready to go. And I know those guys will be ready.
Will playing in front of the home crowd for the first time here have any special meaning to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always special. Whenever you can play a home game, you know, big shout out to the Dog Pound. We're excited to get there and really see them and put on for them. But when you can ever bring someone to your home, lock the gate, and play football, that's a fun experience.
Have you talked to Hugh about how many series you want to play from now to the end of the preseason so you feel 100% ready to go week one?
No, I'm not, and that's not my place or my job. My job is to go out, and when coach says you play, you play. And, you know, I know all the guys in the locker room are that way. Everyone's itching to play football, but that's coach's decision on how to keep up.
I believe Kirk Cousins was playing when you were injured a few years ago here. You've never played here, correct?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever played in Cleveland, but I've been here, and you know, I've seen the crowd and the way they react to their team. So I'm excited about, you know, feeling that on the home side of things.
That's Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III. And Matt, what do you want to see from RG3? What do you think? How much should he be out there here against the Atlanta Falcons?
If I were to put him, just because sometimes you don't know where the way the game is going to go, where you want to say, I want to see him a quarter. Well, that might be 8 snaps. That might be 6 snaps. That might be 15. I would, and that's the number that I come to mind that I want to see RG3. I want to see 15 snaps out of the starting offense with Robert Griffin III. And that could be maybe a 3-and-out, a 7-play drive, and then that next drive. Because what I want Robert Griffin III to go through is, and he got a little bit of that against the Green Bay Packers with the interceptions, where things don't always end the way you want them to end. And I want to see you be able to come back in the huddle, be the leader, put it behind you, make the throws time and time again. You know, the offense doesn't fire. They go three and out. I want to see a little bit of fire from RG3 that they went three and out. And then to come back right back out, dig back into the Hugh Jackson game plan, you know, get with Pep Hamilton on what went wrong, and then go out and put that best foot forward. That's what I want to see out of Robert Griffin III. And it's hard to see when he's given one series, maybe two. But a quarter of football or a quarter and a half of football, maybe 15 to 20 plays, it gives you plenty to see and to see how he reacts and the receivers react to him and how he throws the football.
Yeah, I want to see, and I want to see him have some success. I want to see them get down there and finish a drive with a touchdown. And hopefully Corey Coleman will be out there. We know Josh Gordon won't be out there for him against the Falcons, but hopefully he gets Coleman. And you know, you want to see these guys get some game reps together, and that means that's going to have to come in Tampa. If you want to see Gordon, Pryor, Coleman, Hawkins on the field with RG3, that's got to happen in Tampa if those guys are ready to go by then, because it probably won't happen in game four. I don't even know if you see these. Do you see these guys in game four?
No.
I mean, it's possible maybe a series.
Possibly a series. I would say that game four may look a lot like game one, you know, where they get a series, good, bad, or indifferent. It's get them out. And I think the reason why they may have a series in against the Chicago Bears is simply because of how young we are as a team, that Hugh's going to have to show these guys that you just can't walk out in, you know, I don't want to say in street clothes, but in warm-ups. It's go through your warm-up, go through your game routine, because then you're 10 days away from making it real. And I think just to have that lackadaisical mindset, it kind of keeps those veterans and those starters in the football game, even though they know it really doesn't matter, and they're going to have a sparing of reps.
Yeah, I think it'll just be a little easing in. One guy who's eager to get back on the field and get back to work with the Browns, John Hughes, missed the last 2 weeks for personal reasons. He spoke about his return to the team today and his focus on football. That'll come up right after this.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's been a week of return for the Cleveland Browns, and one guy back now after taking time to deal with the personal matter, John Hughes, slated as a starter. Maybe he's fallen behind Jamie Meter at this point, who has played so well. He's going to have to get out there and earn some playing time back, and he is back at work and spoke with the media about his time away and what this return means for him.
While you were away?
I was just personal family matters I had going on. So.
Is everything all right?
Everything's good now, yeah.
So can you assure the Browns and the fans that you're going to be here now for the duration?
Yeah, I'm back 100% now.
What were you able to do to stay in shape or train while you were taking care of business?
I was able to work out, lift, run, you know, stay active throughout the time I was out.
Do you think you have catching up to do now, or can you just slide right back in?
It's always going to be work. I'm just excited to be back here with the teammates.
Yeah, what do you say that the Browns were patient with whatever was going on? What do you say to them about that?
I just appreciate them. They do also going through some things, and I appreciate them being there for me.
John, obviously, when you say your personal family matters, it's a serious thing, but is it tough to leave camp? What were your emotions like making that decision?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But, you know, when it comes to family, it's a big priority to me.
John, you were starting. I mean, you were working with the ones throughout the spring and throughout the beginning of the camp. Do you know where you're going to fit in now in the rotation? And do you think you can get right back into that role, or is it going to take some time? Is it going to be, kind of up in the air?
I'm not sure. It's up to coach. I'm just going to go out there, play my best ball, and see what happens.
Were you in communication with your teammates? I'm sure they were very concerned about you because they've known you here for a while.
Yeah, I got a lot of texts from my teammates, offense and defense. It was great, the support they had for me, and I appreciated it.
How about from Hugh Jackson and Sashi Brown? Were they in your corner? Did they let you know you're in good standing with the team, take care of what you have to take care of? What was the communication like?
Yeah, they actually made me feel real comfortable about the situation. I had talked to both of them personally.
Could you say where you were, city?
It was personal matters. So, yeah.
Do you think it'll take you a while to kind of get back into the flow of things?
No, it should be just like riding a bike for the most part. I gotta get back in the routine of things, but no, it shouldn't be hard at all.
How much anxiety is there about getting back in the flow?
Not too much. I mean, I think the most anxiety was just getting back into the building. I was really, excited to get back. Getting back in the routine of things is pretty easy.
Talk about how your role is going to change. I mean, you have a chance to start now, for 16 games, which you haven't done yet. Mm-hmm. So just talk about taking on new responsibilities in that way.
Exciting. The older you get in this league, more responsibility happens sometimes. Like I said before in an earlier interview, I've learned from a lot of good players, and I got a lot of experience under my belt, so I'm ready.
John, when you're gone for 2 weeks, obviously you're dealing with something serious. Did you think about retiring? Was that on the table?
No, that wasn't on the table. No.
You always knew you were going to be able to come back to the team.
Yeah, yeah.
That was John Hughes there on his return, and Matt, it's a personal matter. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Okay? He's not going to tell you anything. Stop wasting this man's time and your own.
Agreed. Let me ask you from just a play standpoint, if you were the starter, you missed 2 weeks, including the first preseason game, how much does that change what you're able to do? How much does that put you behind, if at all?
It puts John Hughes behind simply because as Ray Horton and I believe Hugh Jackson both said, by the fifth or sixth day of training camp, all the playbook is in. And then he gets to the refinement. And that's where, John Hughes has been slotted as a starter all offseason, all OTAs, all mini camps, and, of course, started preseason this way. And then to abruptly get pulled out to deal with a family issue that I don't need to know what it is. What city you're in, where you were at, did you fly there, did you drive there? I don't care. Okay. What's relevant now is that you're back, and can you help us win football games? And I think that's what Hugh Jackson and Ray Horton are truly concerned about. And the refinement aspect, as I was saying, is what really matters. Because John Hughes, there's something about playing a little bit lower to having the lungs, of being able to play and stay on the field in situations and not be gassed. All those become an issue for a guy like John Hughes, even though I've been working out, I've been running. There's nothing like putting a helmet and pads on and running around and doing your job at the pace that your coaches see fit, tackling a guy to the ground, and then getting back in the huddle and doing it again.
Let me ask you, we talked about maybe seeing a front that has Meter, who's played so well, Shelton, and Hughes on it. How does that work, though, in your base from a pass-rushing standpoint? Because neither one of those guys is a guy like Dez Bryant who can also get to the quarterback.
Yeah, you're limited in some regard. And I think at times I thought John Hughes, maybe even going back to 2014, he was the most active and explosive of the defensive linemen on that 2014 team, and that's why I wanted to see more of him. And I think now he's grown into that three technique role as a starter, and he's in almost a full-time role, and that's what we expected out of him this year. But I wouldn't be surprised that while the job may have been his at the start of this training camp and the start of the season had he been there the whole time, but with the progress made by Jamie Meter, with Xavier Cooper getting his opportunity, that if by committee, at least at the beginning of the season, because of some of the uncertainty with John Hughes, it might actually work as a good thing to allow him to be explosive, to have fresh legs and a fresh body, not having gone through the last 2 weeks of doldrums of training camp.
Yeah, he's going to have that opportunity, but this is a team that everybody's working for that common goal. Everybody's trying to carve their name, and there is some competition. I mean, the good news for John Hughes is he's not battling for a spot. I mean, I know everybody's technically battling for a spot, but John Hughes is making this football team.
Correct.
And now he's just got to come back in and try to get the reps that he wants, and he has a couple games to do it. So I think that if he had to do it, is it better to have missed those 2 weeks than, say, miss preseason games 2 and 3?
Yes, 100%.
All right, when we come back, a guy who is scratching and clawing to make this team, who really has stepped up and I think is going to make this team. I think he's going to be the third running back. I think he's going to be the kick returner as well. Raheem Mostert, interesting guy. I sat down with him earlier today in our P3 Getting Grilled Get to Know You segment with Raheem Mostert. That's coming up soon.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Every time I touch it, they're front off the ground. Let them go. All the ones trying to get in the door.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Very happy to be joined by Browns running back, kick returner, sometimes punt returner as well, Raheem Mostert. Raheem, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Good. Very happy to have you. Now, you joined this team late last year, started off doing kick returns, but I got to tell you, you come out, you lead the team in rushing in the first preseason game. I remember one of the first siren periods. You got the first carry and busted off like a 40-yard run. You're yeah. looking pretty good carrying the ball as well. Do you enjoy running or returning more?
You know, actually, I enjoy returning. That's just one of the things that I've always done, high school on up in college and now okay. pro. So, but I love having the ball in my hands and trying to make something happen, whether that be like the home run or whatever the case may be. You know, I love playing and having the ball in my hands and getting the opportunity to score.
So what's the mindset of a kick returner? Because, right, you sit there and they kick you the ball and you get it and literally everybody's coming to kill you. Now, I know it's the same when you're a running back as well, but it's different because these people are now running, you know, 45 yards, building up ahead of steam to come get you. What kind of goes through your mind on a kickoff?
Well, you know, the first thing obviously is the catch and
sure.
how the kicker aligns and stuff like that. But I mean, in my mind really is that either I'm going to try to set up a good score for my team or I'm going to score myself. And, you know, that's one of the things that's really playing in my mind is I just want to get the best opportunity for my team, my teammates and stuff like that, you know, to set up some type of score or some type of great drive. And whether that be, you know, me busting out a 60-yarder or me taking one to the crib, you know.
Yeah.
It's always my mentality. It's either I'm going to set it up where I want to score or I'm going to set it up to where I want to help my team score. And, you know, I just read it like it's a running back play. You know,
sure.
It's just you got the whole field to work with then. You know, just if you see a gap, hit it. That's my mentality. If I see a hole, just hit it.
Well, you certainly have a lot of bursts as we've seen you pick up big chunks of yards, both as a returner and a runner. I want to ask you, though, how has the new rule on touchbacks now coming to 25 impacted you or impacted the way you're being coached on a ball that, say, is 4 yards deep in the end zone?
You know, Tabes, he really helps me out with this this new rule stating that, you know, if I'm 5 yards deep and it goes anything past 5 yards,
that's
just,
it.
Just keep it in.
Okay.
And if it's worth a while to try to return it, just go ahead and do your thing. You're the one that's back there making the judgment call. So when I'm back there, I literally, if it's five, if I'm standing on the five, like halfway of inside the scoring zone, you know, if it's anything further than five, I'm just going to keep it in.
That's
like
it.
He told me. Yeah.
yeah.
And if it's a little bit shorter or it's at five, I'm bringing it out. And
do you think kickers are going to try to kick higher, shorter kicks to like right on the goal line?
I do believe they're going to try to do something with that.
Yeah.
Just to try to get an advantage to, you know, on their side to
sure.
punch it in inside the 10 or whatever. I do believe that's going to happen here soon, whether that be in the preseason or in the regular season. I know I have a feeling that it's gonna take place.
So in Madden, for example, on a kick return, you pick like kickoff return middle, right or left. In the real NFL, what is it like? Are the returns set up with the design before it's kicked, or is it kind of based on what comes your way and everybody has to work together?
It's based on, you know, the kicker's alignment. And
okay.
Coach Tabes will hammer that down with the kickoff return unit. The kicker's alignment, what's his approach. You like me, I'm really good at determining if there's going to be some type of pooch up in the sky by the certain angle that he's coming, or if he's
okay.
going to kick a line drive deep in the end zone. So that's one thing, you know, he really preaches on the returners to know what the kicker is going to do prior to him kicking off. So that really helps out to set up the return too.
What's the biggest difference between kick returns and punt returns?
The ball, of course.
You yeah.
know, it was my first game ever returning a punt return this past game.
Had a little hiccup. It's
yeah.
okay.
yeah,
it's
a little okay. hiccup, but, you know, I made up for it.
You did. You had the big return and got the penalty.
Yeah,
set up your team to score.
Exactly. And, you know, I did have that hiccup, but that was just because I wasn't really focused on that specific, you know, play. Because after safety, I've never practiced that in practice, or I've never had that happen to me in the game. So that was something new. But, you know, you learn from those mistakes.
Sure.
So, yeah, that was the case with me.
What did Coach Tabor say to you after that game?
you know, he was just like, you did some good things, you know, but we want to eliminate the turnover.
Sure.
But, you know, I'm the one that set you up 15-yard. I told you to stand on the 15-yard line, and I didn't know that the punter was going to punt that little pooch kick or whatever. So but he kind of took the self-esteem off, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying, like, Raheem, it's not totally your fault, but, you know.
Let's clean it up. Let's not have that conversation
let's not
again.
Have it again. Yeah. So
you're doing that with special teams. How hard is it to give so much time to the special team side of it and the return side of it? But then you're also getting a lot of reps, you know, as the third team running back right now behind Duke and Crow, which is good, and you're making the most of those opportunities. Is it hard to kind of split your focus that way? Because I feel like last year you were more focused on returns than running back, and this year it seems like a pretty equal focus.
Yeah, you know, before I got here in Cleveland, I was with the Ravens, and I was their third string running back as well, and I spent about majority of the season with them. So, you know, picking up a new playbook was kind of challenging.
Sure.
But, I mean, me, I just always focus on special teams and then, you know, running back, because special teams is ultimately what I'm going to have the secure job for, you know.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to add some value on that team, whoever I'm playing with, like now.
Sure.
You know, Coach Tabor, he really likes me and stuff like that. Which is a good
thing. Yeah,
that's how you.
Well, you keep averaging 28 yards a kick return, you're gonna have a long career.
Yeah, so you know, I really want to focus on special teams, but at the same time, I know I have to focus on, you know, running back, because that's where I want to make my mark as well.
So, sure.
You know, I want to be a Pro Bowler and a future Hall of Famer, like any other person in the league.
Absolutely.
You know. So I just have to balance between the two, which I feel like I do a great job at.
How's that running back room with Crow and Duke, yourself, Terrell Watts, and Glenn Winston, and, of course, Kirby Wilson as the coach, having that real strong veteran voice who's coached a lot of guys that will be Hall of Famers?
Yeah, you know, like, Kirby, I just have the ultimate respect for him, because he's coached, like, Marshall Faulk.
Sure.
And, AP. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just those guys alone in itself is just like, wow, you know,
yeah.
if he coached them and, you know, he's saying the same thing to them, why can't I listen, you know? And
sure.
I really hone in and try to soak in as much information as I can from him, because he's been in the league before I was even born, kind of. So, you know, he played the game, and he also coached it for a while. So, to be in a room with all these running backs and stuff like that, you know, it's competitive, and, you know, we all want the same thing, and, you know, we just basically brighten each other up, you know.
Yeah.
We don't let each other go down, and we don't let our highs get too high and our lows get too low. So, you know, we always try to help each other out at the end of the day.
5 carries for 43 yards in your preseason debut there with the Browns, and, of course, you know, the 27-yarder. What did Kirby say to you after that game, and maybe even after that big run? Because your teammates were really excited for you. I don't know if you were able to tell that, but on the sideline, everybody was pretty fired up.
Yeah, you know, Kirby came up to me. He was just like, you know, we expect that out of you and stuff like that, you know, all that stuff. But, I mean, me personally, I felt like, you know, I could have done a little bit better with the other five reps that I had, you know. I dropped a pass, which it looked like I was running extremely slow on film, you know. I just got
– Is that something you want to work on, catching the ball out of the backfield?
Well, I mean, I don't have a problem necessarily catching the ball. It's just like if I'm tired. Like any other person, if they're tired or something like that, you know, I got to work on my conditioning.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing that I kind of lacked at.
You look like you're in good shape. You're running away from everybody out there.
It does right now, but, I mean, if I'm like 5 or 6 plays straight, you know, I really got to hone in on my focus and – that's something that I really got to, if I want to be a starter or something like that, potentially in the future, that's something that I really have to focus on.
What's kind of been your favorite memory of, you know, being with the Browns and kind of just your overall take on what this Hugh Jackson Cleveland Browns team looks like?
You know, one of my favorite moments is honestly sitting in the meeting room with Coach Jackson for the first time, and he preaching to the whole team about winning, you know. I didn't have the necessary, you know, winning streak like in college, because my university, we were going through some ups and downs and stuff like that. So
sure.
I don't know necessarily what winning feels like. And, you know, I felt good when he came in that first meeting. Was like, I don't like losing. We're not going to be that anymore. Like, you know, and, you know, like the Browns history, people always say like, oh, yeah, Browns are not that good. You know, they're never going to be good. Well, I feel like that's going to change within this year, you know?
Yeah.
But we all have faith in each other, and, you know, he really, really hones in on that winning aspect because, look, nobody likes losing.
No.
You know, we all love winning. So that's one thing that we all focus on. So how do we get that done?
So you were here for part of last season, I said, and then this year as well. And yesterday, Josh Gordon was speaking with the media after coming back, and he said something that I found very interesting. Was that he goes, this is such a tighter team than I've ever experienced with the Cleveland Browns. Like, to you, is this year different than last year? And and what is it? Like, from a player's perspective, what is it to you that's so different now about the guys? Because we know how different it is with Hugh, and maybe it trickles down from him. What's so different about that locker room?
You know, first off, is the camaraderie of each other, you know, the chemistry that we're building. You know, I don't even remember – like talking to any of the guys when I first got here. You know, I was kind of just me, Coach Montgomery, you know, just studying and trying to pick me up on the offense the last 3 weeks of the season.
Sure.
And, you know, I really didn't talk. Well, I talked to Duke, you know, because that's Duke's outgoing and stuff like that. He's, and
I'm sure you talked to Charles Gaines because he's always talking.
He's always, in Gaines, too. I mean, that's just because we're all from Florida and stuff like that. So we all got a connection in that aspect. But, I mean, last year was just like guys were ready to go home, you know, practice. They didn't really want to do anything extra, you know. And I'm just like, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. You know? You know, you want to finish the season out strong. Unfortunately, we didn't last year.
Right.
And, you know, but now it's just like, you know, Coach Jackson's in. Everybody wants to get the job done. Everybody wants to be better. Everybody wants to be a Hall of Famer. Everybody wants to practice really hard and stuff like that. You know, that's building up, you know, what's supposed to happen with this upcoming season. You know,
is this the most intense training camp you've been in?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. You know, I was with Philly last year, and, you know, Chip Kelly's offense and stuff like that. We were fast-paced and stuff like that, but it wasn't that intense like it is now. Like, I've never heard of a coach blowing the siren and – that's live.
It's like, football.
Yeah, that's football. You playing now, so I mean that's
was that cool?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That's some change, and I like that.
I think it was the second day of the siren, right? That you got the first carry and busted off that long one, and you were probably this close to going all the way. Got tripped up just from behind there. But a great run. But I mean, was that when you got it? Were you like, you probably never felt like that in practice when you got the ball before?
I never felt like that before. It was just like, wow, you know, like. He drop what you're doing. We're going live.
Let's
like
go.
That's a great feeling. Because, you know, that's getting you prepared.
Did you feel more prepared for Green Bay because you'd already been through live tackling?
Yeah, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I definitely did.
And it showed. It showed. All right, for the people out there for the Dog Pound that really may not be as familiar with Raheem Mostert as they will be, what's something you would want the fans of the Browns to know about you?
You know, one thing is that, you know, I really am going to try my hardest and anything and everything that I do, whether that be, you know, blocking, catching, or, you know, catching punts and stuff like that, you know. That's something that I signed up for and that, that I enjoy taking on certain challenges. And, you know, I'm not going to be that, oh, well, you're a try-hard guy. I'm going to be the guy that, you know, when he's on film, he's going to make a play or – something's going to happen. So
You've been jumping out. That big run certainly helps. The big return certainly helps. Raheem, thanks for being with us today. Good luck against Atlanta, and excited to see you going, especially when you return to Philadelphia September the 11th and maybe throw a touchdown in their face. Be like, this is what you're missing now. Thank you very little. Raheem Mostert, our guest here. Thanks so much, man. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
All right, we'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily Live right here on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily.
What?
Nathan's there's a video I'm watching this show. So this girl being adamant that she can run 100 meters in under 7.5 seconds. And
what?
Like the fact that like nobody else can do that means that she's like she doesn't get it. It's pretty entertaining.
It is pretty entertaining.
We will watch that. So they're getting out today. Last day to really walk through things here.
last day of practice before Thursday's game against the Atlanta Falcons. And I got to tell you, Raheem Mostert is a guy that I think, I'm going to say it for him, and even that's with him putting the ball on the ground, as long as he takes care of the football, I think he's a lock to make this team. I think he's the best kick returner. I think he's the third best running back.
And that's kind of what I've said before about guys who could potentially make this team. They flash that they can play at this level. And then I think the flashes is what you love. The flashes are what make guys stars. But the consistency is what allows these guys to make the team. And for a guy like Raheem Mostert can stay in the league, make some good money, have a little bit of career, never probably ever in his career going to be the guy. But to be the guy that's one play away is not a bad way to make a living.
And all he does when he gets on there, he's been making big plays.
Correct.
And he's a guy, I found his comments on the locker room interesting. Last year, nobody talked to him. Nobody talked on the team. And I know it was the end of the year, and I know they were in the midst of a bad streak there. But that's kind of disconcerting. And you know, just kind of reinforces that there was a culture, massive culture change needed here in Cleveland. And for a guy that got to be a part of that environment and then come here, we've heard night and day all along. But, I mean, even Josh Gordon's like, I've never seen the locker room like this since I've been a Cleveland Brown. And,
right.
You know, for Gordon, that's 2012, 2013, a piece of 2014. It's interesting to me that it's become that different that quickly and the players like it. And he's just like, everybody wants to work now.
Yeah. And is it really, though, any surprise?
It's,
I mean,
not,
for you and I being in this building?
It is only because I think people were blinded in some ways by the early success of the 2014 team.
Right.
We know that season
that you were
up
waiting with bated breath to see that again.
Right. And because it was supposed to be, you know, Dante Whitner had come in from, you know, his good run with the 49ers, and Carlos Dansby had come in, and they were the locker room leaders, and it was a different locker room, and they were going to show these young guys how to win. But it almost seemed like not they in particular as individuals, but the overall culture of that locker room was kind of like, all right, we don't want to do this
right
anymore.
And I think at the beginning of the process, as you said, those two guys were going to be the leaders of the locker room. But I think any man, you know, when it is your job and, you know, your career and I guess your notoriety and everything, you know, that you value is held to you and your name, there comes to a certain breaking point. And I think that's where at a certain point last year that Dansby, and I think we've heard in hindsight, you know, since he's been signed by the Bengals, you know, with on different occasions he's made mention of what went wrong in Cleveland. There comes to a point where you just got to throw your hands up in the air and go, I can only do me. I can't do it for everyone else. And then
I think also the
immaturity and the lack of experience on that staff only aided the downward spiral, if that makes sense. Whereas we're hanging everything right now on Hugh Jackson and his staff. We'll expect good play from RG3 and Corey Coleman to live up the hype, you know, through 5 months of being a Cleveland Brown, Josh Gordon potentially coming back, Joe Thomas being who he is defensively, Ray Horton and his scheme, Paul Kruger to return to 14 form. So there are things that we're going to bank on, but ultimately it is these coaches and their ability to get the best out of the 53 players that make up the Cleveland Browns and also have them ready and their ability to basically be where they're supposed to be. You'd be surprised, Nathan, how easy the game of football is if you just go where you're supposed to go and get to the gap that you're supposed to get, cover the guy with the proper technique. It's a breakdown of an individual that makes for how defenses, and this is defense specific, how defenses give up chunks of yards.
Well, it's the same thing on offense. A play, for example, when you watch the tape of the play where Cody Kessler had his second safety where he got sacked. Ricardo Lewis had broken free, and Kessler was a millisecond, as he told me, from pulling the trigger and launching the ball down the field for what would have been basically a 90-plus yard touchdown. But pass protection breakdown, instead it's a safety, and that's a 9-point swing off of, you know, in a split second. It takes all 11 guys. That's what makes football so unique.
Right, and Cody Kessler, a year from now, pulls that trigger, makes that touchdown.
Absolutely. All right, that'll do it for us today. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. It's raining here in Berea where the Browns set to hit the field one more time as they get ready to prepare for the Atlanta Falcons preseason game number 2. For Matt Wilhelm, Mimo Pedman, and Matt Fontana, I'm Nathan Zagura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.